CE 1450 AM W299 CD Richland Center.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
On our morning show today, we present some speeches that were recorded in our studios from the Patriots Pen and Voice of Democracy winners for 23-24. Bauer Gunnell Dalton, VFW Post Patriots Pen written essay winners in grades 6 through 8 of the post level were announced earlier. Several entries were received with the following results of students who placed first, second, and third place. The theme this year, How Are You Inspired by America? Taking first place, Isabella Bender, a 7th grader at Eagle School. Second place, Emily Thomas, an 8th grade student at Eagle School. And third place was Michaela Seep, a 7th grade student at Eagle School. The student entries were sent on to the 3rd District, Wisconsin VFW, along with students representing 15 other posts in the 3rd District. When all entries were judged, the 3rd District competition from all 15 post results were announced, with Isabella Brander, representing Eagle School, who was very successful with a written essay. Her essay was chosen as the first place winner at VFW 3rd District and now will proceed to compete at the state VFW level. Congratulations to Isabella, her parents, Eagle School, and her teacher, representation Christine Brenninger. We wish Isabella the best of luck at the state competition, for which these entries are going to be judged before the state VFW convention in June of this year. Bauer Gunnell Dalton, VFW Post 2267, Voice of Democracy, written and recorded essay winners in grades 9 through 12 at the post level were announced earlier as well. Several entries were received with the following results of students who placed first, second, and third. The theme this year, what are the greatest attributes of our democracy? Taking first place, Nicholas Valdez, a 9th grade student at Kickapoo. Second place, Jordan Hancock, also a 9th grader at Kickapoo High School. And Elise M. Olson, a 9th grade student at Kickapoo High School. Bauer Gunnell Dalton, VFW Post, Patriots Pen, Voice of Democracy winners were announced and sent on to the 3rd District, Wisconsin VFW, along with students representing 15 other posts in the 3rd District. When all entries were judged, the 3rd District competition from all 15 post results was announced, with Nicholas Valdez, representing Kickapoo, placing second place at the district level, with first place going to a student from Potosi. Congratulations to Nicholas, Jordan, and Elise, along with their parents and assistants from Kickapoo High School and teacher involvement. An invitation was extended to the students to record their essays at the radio station, and three of them were able to make their way here. So today we present three of the speeches from the Patriots Pen and Voice of Democracy competition locally. First of all, we present Michaela Seep, who again is a 7th grade student at Eagle School in Richland Center.
I'm Michaela Seep, and this is how I'm inspired by America. America can inspire many different people in many different ways, whether one has been raised on a military base, in a small town, or a big city. We should all be inspired by America. America inspires me because we have religious freedom that other countries do not, we have soldiers to fight for our freedom, and we have clean air that is protected. We are fortunate to have religious freedom and the ability to worship and read our Bibles in public. In some countries, there is a death penalty for owning a Bible. In America, we are free to go to church without fear of being arrested for practicing an illegal religion. My fellow Americans and I shall forever be grateful that we have the freedom of religion. America has a very brave and courageous military that fights for our country and our people. The soldiers do not join the military because they are bored or have nothing else to do. They choose to risk their lives to save the future of the children of America. We cannot fathom the fear that soldiers endure on their beds at night, knowing that they could die in war the next day. I can only imagine the sadness of veteran families who understand that their mom, dad, son, daughter, aunt, or uncle might not come home in the same condition as when they left. It is important to always remember that we need to keep the soldiers and their families in our prayers. Clean air is essential for the mental and physical health of our citizens. In the United States of America, the air quality is not perfect and varies from place to place. However, our air is clean overall. Sadly, there are countries that, because of smog levels, people were advised to wear masks even before the recent pandemic. The saying, "I am going to get some fresh air," is constantly spoken in America. We should be thankful that in America, our air is fresh because we have laws that keep it clean. Everyone should be inspired by America one way or another. Whether or not one has been raised in a home with a veteran or a patriotic influence, we should all be inspired by America. America inspires me because we have the freedom of religion, soldiers to fight for our freedom, and clean air that is protected.
Michaela Seep, a seventh grade student at Eagle School in Richland Center. Now, Isabella Brander, also a seventh grader at Eagle School, who again, her essay was chosen first place and in the Patriots Pen essay competition.
How are you inspired by America? As a person who's lived in another country and traveled to many others, I understand how America is unique from most of the world. I've seen chaotic, crime-ridden countries where there is insufficiency and disorder. America inspires me because of her patriotic people, her historical greatness, and her constitution that grants us the freedom to exercise our rights. What inspires me most is the dedication of Americans to their country. Every day, I see men and women stand up for their rights and for the betterment of America. And every day, I see brave people fight and sacrifice for their families, for their country, for us, and for our children's futures. We have strong role models to lead communities and teach our children. To me, this is what is truly admirable about America. America has been an inspiration to millions of people for generations and hopefully will be for generations to come. For hundreds of years, people from every country have flocked to America to find freedom and opportunity. In their home countries, many of these people were ruled by a king or emperor. Coming to America made them a free, sovereign person with rights that were not privileged to them by any monarch, but instead were given to them by God. I am proud of America and its history as a place where, with perseverance, dreams can become reality. Lastly, I am inspired by one of the greatest documents ever written in the history of the world, the Constitution of the United States of America, written in 1787. The Constitution is one of the main foundations of our country, and the values enshrined within it have been preserved even today. It includes the 14th Amendment, which states in part, "No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States." These powerful words have changed the lives of many and protected the rights of the people. The Constitution is essential for us to work together and function as a nation. I believe that America is the freest and most accepting country in the world. Because of her patriotic people, her historical greatness, and her constitution, I am glad I am an American, and I am glad I live here.
These students have done an awesome job. Again, that was Isabella Brander. Next up on the morning show, we present the first place speech in the Voice of Democracy competition. Entries that were received locally at the local post and judged first place, and then again, second place district-wide. Here's a speech from ninth grade student Nicholas Valdez of Kickapoo High School.
Democracy. It stems from the Greek word demokratia, meaning rule of the people. Democracy was formed and influenced by some of history's greatest minds, like the ancient Greek Athenians with their direct democracies, and the founding fathers of the United States, who popularized representative democracy in the later half of the 18th century. These people have advanced society in incredible ways through their use of democracy, and in order to honor their contributions to the world, I will be discussing the greatest aspects of democracy. One of the greatest aspects of democracy is this ability to bring people together for a common cause. In theory, both a middle-class salaryman and a rich CEO have the exact same influence when they step up to the ballot box. People having equal say in government is a foundational value of many of the world's most successful democracies. Within a vote of people, there are only two groups, a majority and a minority. Within these two groups, there can be hundreds of people who have hundreds of differing beliefs and cultural backgrounds. And I believe that this should dissolve group mentalities like rich, poor, black, white, or Republican and Democrat. If voters remain sensible, it should allow the main focus of the vote to be on deciding the best option rather than one group winning over another. Another of democracy's strongest components is its ability to grow and change with its citizens. These changes include the desires of people morphing over time. Listening to the desires and values of the populace is a major part of leading a happy nation. When citizens feel heard and in control, they will be more supportive of the governing body. The wants and needs of these citizens will change drastically over time. Think of the vast cultural differences between the baby boomers and the millennial generation. In a society, ideas will flow in and out of popularity, and democracy stops one viewpoint from holding back societal progress, whether it be a view on gender, race, economics, or technology. If one viewpoint or method of governance has an unyielding chokehold on culture and government, then those who disagree cannot express or debate ideas, which may lead to conflicts like riots, boycotts, or potentially war. One example of this would be the Hong Kong-China conflicts that have been happening since the early 2000s. The desires and ideas of political freedom in Hong Kong are heavily opposed by the Chinese government. The suppression of freedoms and lack of amicability between the two sides has led to violent protests throughout the years, particularly in 2019 and 2020. A society that doesn't allow for change and conflicting ideas is doomed to be held back by lack of new ideas or conflict with those that they were suppressing. The final thing I believe to be the most important part of democracy is the responsibility it puts on people under it, requiring them to be the best they can. The residents of a democratic state control the wins and failures of said state. This requires intelligent, thoughtful citizens to create good laws and make educated decisions. For example, when people make smart decisions regarding votes on education, it creates better taught and more capable students, who will in turn make good choices that help society when they reach adulthood. Though we have made great strides in the right direction, we are all still very flawed creatures who don't always make rational decisions. When citizens fail to uphold an uncorrupt and equal democratic state, that state will eventually fail. The collapse of these societies is an unfortunate part of human history, but the changes brought by the collapse lets new nations form and learn from the mistakes of their predecessors. One man who heavily disagreed with the values of democracy was the ancient Greek philosopher Socrates. He believed that the majority of people were not at all fit to run a government, and I mostly agree with him on this point. In a perfect world, I would start a nation with a strong, moralistic leader or group who are the utmost experts in managing government and who couldn't be swayed by personal greed or cheap attempts at keeping their power. Unfortunately, we will most likely never be able to find this perfect leader to babysit all of us, so we must work together and educate ourselves. Democracy forces people to improve themselves for the sake of all that live inside a nation's borders, and that is incredible. Democracy citizens are its greatest strength, but also its greatest weakness. Much like the people they rule, democracy can be innovative, but also lead to many problems when it strays from its goals. Which path our democracy takes isn't solely up to our leaders, it is up to us.
Thanks to Nicholas Valdez and earlier Isabella Brander and Michaela Seep for not only their involvement in the competition, but coming to WRCO and recording their essays. New essay themes will be released this March for students to enter the 2024-25 essay competitions, which are due October 31st of this year to the nearest VFW post. Students enrolled in a public, private, or parochial high school or home study program in the United States, its territories and possessions, or dependents of U.S. military or civilian personnel in overseas schools. Although U.S. citizenship is not required, students must be lawful U.S. permanent residents or have applied for permanent residence, the application for which has not been denied. More detailed information is available at vfw.org/community/youth and education/youth scholarships. Thanks to Marge Freeman for helping to organize this. And again, hats off to the students for being willing to be a part of this year. I'm Phil Nee. We'll have more topics coming up on today's morning show in just a moment. On our morning show today from WRCO, we're talking with Tim Johnson, who is a co-chair for the River Valley School Fair. This is about 6 months early or 6 months late, no matter how you look at it, I think, to have you on, Tim. But it's a pleasure to have you on in the off-season.
Yeah, it's not normal to be here talking about a school fair this time of the year, but I think we got a good project ahead of us, so we're looking for a little assistance on.
That's why you're here today. So it's very important that people come through in the community, and they always seem to for you, but kind of explain what you're doing. There's kind of a need right now, isn't there?
Yeah, so in 2013, our committee constructed the roof system that we currently have. It's a 40 by 90, and at the time, we thought it was ample space for all the exhibitors we had, but After the last 10 years, who would have known that some of our exhibitors have doubled, like the swine has literally doubled since then. Goats and cattle are growing. So to make a little more easeability for everybody to maneuver within there and the safety of the kids, we decided to add another 20 feet in length, so make it 40 by 110. So our committee is in the midst of a fundraiser to come up with approximately $12,000 to cover the material costs and the labor for that, which currently we're at about 8,000 in. So we're hoping to come up with another three to four to start a spring construction on the job.
So tell us a little bit more about the project. You're adding on to one end of the building then?
Yeah, we're going to be adding on to the south end of the building. So we've taken off the steel that's on the upper side of that end and adding 20 feet and then putting some more sidewall steel on, pouring the concrete, which we've been gracious enough to have a local contractor step up and donate their time for pouring the concrete. We've got a local company that stepped in and is going to donate that product also, which is a great help.
Construction materials are certainly, they've come down a little bit, but they're still expensive, right?
Yeah, the material's down some, but it's still a lot of roof steel and trusses and so on and supports to come up with that much of square footage.
Who would have thought that you would expand this much? I mean, the fair has just grown in leaps and bounds, hasn't it?
It is. None of us ever foresee this. We thought we had plenty of space when we built 90 feet. But it's a great position to be in. I'm glad to be still part of it. And some of these, the majority of our exhibitors are elementary age, so they're going to be around for a while. So we need to make space for them.
And talking about it, I joked at the beginning, Tim, that it was kind of the off season. But I don't know, there probably isn't an off season for the school fair committee, is there?
Not really. We meet usually a month after the fair and start putting things into place and making changes for the next year. We're always trying to improve, make the experience better for the kids, for the community, and the parents. And so it's an ongoing process. But I think we're to the point now where. I think it's a very good experience for everybody that's involved.
Having been there last fall, I'm just impressed by the amount of alumni that come back and give back, and many of them started right there in your show area too, didn't they?
Yeah, some of those kids are now their alumni, have exhibited for probably 10, 12 years while they were in school, and so they're anxious to come back and see what the next generation is doing and the livestock that they're bringing in. And just the camaraderie to see their classmates and so on through the day and the parade and everything. It's a very entertaining day to be part of the Valley.
Got a lot of space there and some good setup with buildings. You're probably people are going to want to rent it and have other fairs there, aren't they?
It's always a possibility.
Yeah, that could happen. So tell us, if people are listening and they're interested, they want to help out, what's the best way to go about it, Tim?
The straightforward way is just you make a check out to River Valley School District and you can mail right to Central Office, which is 660 West Daly Street, Spring Green. That's 53588. Just put a note in the envelope that ear tag for the River Valley or for the school fair project, and the staff will take it from there.
Okay. So that's an ongoing thing. When do you hope to have the labor and everything completed by?
We're hoping to have funds in place somewhere around April and be able to do the construction maybe May. It's literally probably two weekends of work here to get this done. It's going to go pretty fast. So timeline for completion would be mid-year, and so everything will be well into place before the fair in this fall.
If someone is listening and maybe they can't contribute monetarily, but they can lend a helping hand, you'd welcome that too, right?
Yeah, if you've got some construction knowledge and want to swing a hammer for a couple weekends, you can reach out to me and get a hold of the station here, Phil, Tim Johnson, Spring Green, and I'll be sure to put you to work for a couple weekends.
You'll find something for him to do, won't
sure
you?
Sure will.
Oh, that's awesome. So it's a great thing for the community, and we're going to kind of watch that grow. And I know that FFA Week is coming up. Sherry's going to be bringing some students up, but a very active FFA group at River Valley, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. Her group is very strong. It's growing yearly, too, which is really nice to see. Everybody knows, we are an ag community. But yet there's Each year, maybe a fewer of her FFA students actually grew up on a farm or live on a farm, but the enthusiasm is still there to learn and to grow with that, which is great to see.
Do you have other fundraisers that the Fair Committee puts on during the year, Tim?
Yeah, each year, Memorial Weekend, we're out at Prem's Meats in Spring Green doing a brat stand. Friday, Saturday, Sunday of that weekend, which is yearly. And all that money goes to the school fair and the FFA.
Okay.
So, and our alumni does a fundraiser event at the Sauk County Fair each year, too.
Yeah, it's ongoing there as well. But it's a good group, isn't it?
It is. It's a really fun to be part of. We have a good time working together. We're able to generate some really nice funds for the kids. It's all about the kids. And so as budgets tighten, we're able to step in and help these kids with their travel expenses and so on, where they may not be able to experience that. So we're more than happy to step in and assist when awesome. Needed.
Thanks for all you do, Tim.
Thank you. We always appreciate your organization here, Phil, for everything you do for us.
Yeah, no problem. Let us know. But we're going to kind of push that out there that you could use a little help with some funds and to see you or also send a check to the River Valley District.
Yeah, appreciate it then. Thanks.
You bet. Tim Johnson, who's one of the co-coordinators of the River Valley School Fair on today's morning show. Joining us at WRCO for the morning show is our friend Michelle Reinen with the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Michelle, another month here. Lots to talk about this time.
Yeah, it's flying by already this year. Here we are in February, so I'm anxious for our conversation.
Well, right now people are starting to look at filing their taxes and filing early, and there's a lot to kind of be aware of, isn't there?
Absolutely. Filing early is one of the best things consumers can do, not only because they get their refund early if they're expecting one, but it also can prevent tax-related identity theft. We just walked out of Identity Theft Awareness Week that last week in January, and we know tax season is right here, and identity thieves are going to attempt to steal consumers' tax returns by filing their stolen information and try and use it to redirect that refund to them. And we want to be sure that consumers get that refund and get to it before any identity thieves, so it doesn't create confusion and more hassles for them.
Important for consumers to be prepared for this. And I know some other things. Sometimes you have PINs you have to have. I don't know if everybody has a PIN, though, do they?
No, well, so what it is that, you know, there's nothing that can guarantee protection from identity theft, but there are these preventative measures that can minimize your risk during the tax season. And one of those measures is setting up an identity protection PIN with the federal IRS and the Wisconsin DOR, Department of Revenue. Consumers would need to apply for this individually and then they can get one. So these IP PINs, it adds that extra layer of security for your tax filings by preventing someone else from filing a tax return in your name, even if they have your personal information. So it's a great thing to go out there and get with the Department of Revenue and the IRS each. And you can do that by going to their websites. And that's irs.gov or revenue.wisconsin.gov to request those PIN numbers. So you'd need to have them in order to file your taxes.
In fact, I can speak from personal experience on this. Our account was compromised a couple of years ago, and they contacted us and said, you need to do this. So now we have a PIN number every tax season. But, of course, we feel a little bit more secure as well, Michelle.
Absolutely. And you just said it. When you became the victim of identity theft and someone else used your information, the IRS contacted you and they did so by letter. They did not contact you by phone. And so that's another scheme that these con artists, if you will, are out there trying to use to redirect consumers into having a fear and handing over your personal information. So realize that if there is a problem with your tax return, you will receive a letter and it will instruct you what to do. And go ahead and follow that letter. And if you question its legitimacy, reach out to the Department of Revenue and ask them if the notice you received is valid or not. And so we do have contact information to help you reach out to them with those types of instructions.
So right now, this day and age, you know, we can do, actually, you can probably file right from our phone. But are there some things that we need to be careful of with that, Michelle?
Well, we don't want people to store sensitive data on your device. So be cautious if you're doing it on your phone or even your computer, that your computer isn't storing that data in any way, shape, or form. Because if you lose your device or if it's stolen and someone can get into it, now they have even more personal information. And we also urge consumers, you know, go ahead, update your device before you do any prep. Because that's our standard whenever people are going to be online quite a bit. And then overall throughout the year, the big picture issues that we want is to make sure that you're shredding those unneeded documents, whether those be bank statements, receipts, medical information that you may have gathered for your tax returns or other reasons. You save your tax records, but anything in excess, be sure that you are shredding those documents accordingly. And then protect your mail. You know, if you're going to be receiving your W-2, which contains a lot of information, or anything of importance with sensitive information on it, be sure your mailbox is protected. You can do that by getting a locked mailbox, using a P.O. box, or, you know, even hiring a service that you trust so your mail doesn't sit there for the taking, if you will.
If you experience some sort of theft, what are some steps we should take?
So the first things you want to do is contact the entities who hold the information that was stolen. So if your financial information, bank account information has been compromised, reach out to your bank right away, your credit card company, anyone involved with that, and talk to them about it to see if you need to close accounts and open new ones or get new PINs and passwords. The other thing you want to do is contact your local police department using the non-emergency line to obtain a copy of a police report that you are the victim of identity theft, and then reach out to the DADCAPS Bureau of Consumer Protection hotline to get information on the other steps you may need to take and see if you should file a complaint with us if you will need assistance in going through that recovery process. And you can do that at 1-800-422-7128.
Some very timely information right now, but let's switch gears a little bit. We're talking about Valentine's Day coming up and romance scams. We haven't talked about those for a while, but certainly they're out there and really can be hard for some people, can't they?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's millions of people who've turned to the social networking sites and online apps to meet new friends, or maybe they're finding that special someone. But instead of finding romance, many are running into scammers who are tricking them into parting with money. And we know this to be true because romance scams are one of the most common scams reported by consumers nationwide. In the latest data that the FTC has, our Federal Trade Commission partner, is that $1.3 billion was lost to this form of fraud in 2022. We are still awaiting the 2023 numbers, but we anticipate those to be higher. So this is real, and this is something that's very emotional and hard for consumers to acknowledge that it's happening to them. But romance scammers create these fake profiles on dating and romance websites and apps, as well as other social media platforms, and they use fake photos to trick these potential victims. And in the past, they would grab photo images from other profiles and post them as their own repeatedly. But now that artificial intelligence is becoming more popular and used, we are seeing it in scams, and they are generating AI photo images and posting it, making it really difficult for consumers to perform reverse image searches and understand that the profile is a fake one. And so we really want awareness on this topic because they are, you know, advancing the scheme even further.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Many people aren't aware that Richland County has an organization similar to Big Brothers Big Sisters. For 35 years, Kinship of Richland County has made hundreds of matches between carefully screened adults and local children who need some extra attention. I'm Michelle Nolan-Karras, the director of Kinship. Occasionally, relationships don't work out, but it's amazing how often they do. Having a mentor can improve a child's self-confidence and help them succeed at school and in life. The mentor benefits from these matches, too. Often they last for years and continue into adulthood. If you would like to become a volunteer or refer a child, please contact us at 608-475-2886 or email us at kinshiprc@gmail.com. Donations to Kinship can be mailed to P.O. Box 51, Richland Center, Wisconsin. Your gift is tax deductible and much appreciated.
At the store or give us a call at 649-2253. Christie's Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe, where every day is sunny.
Don't miss the annual Driftless Area Deer Classic, Saturday, February 24th from 9 to 5 at the Richland Center Community Center. Bring in your deer head to be entered for a chance to win a gun. Enjoy interesting vendors, bucket and gun raffles, a trail camera photo contest. Sheds are welcome but will not be scored. Come enjoy food and beverages. Admission is just $5, kids 12 and under free. Pre-register Friday night, February 23rd from 5 until 9 or Saturday from 9 until noon. For more information, phone 475-4963. The Driftless Area Deer Classic, Saturday, February 24th at the Richland Center Community Center.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
Today's news at 6:30 is sponsored by Court & Main Furniture and Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. Today's forecast calls for mostly cloudy, breezy, and warm conditions. A few scattered rain showers with a thunderstorm possible late, a high of 55. Tonight, 36, scattered showers early, maybe a thunderstorm. Right now in Richland Center, after a low of 40, we're at 43 degrees.
Looking for the perfect love seat and sofa set? Well, A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet has you covered. For those that love the cool look of leather, but the long, warm feel for fabric, the Stoneland Reclining Sofa and Reclining Love Seat set delivers both with ease. Its high-performance padded faux leather is remarkably durable and easy to clean. Just the thing for family spaces. Not to mention fashion-forward flair. Shop the Valentine's Day sale now through February 17th, only at A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet in downtown Richland Center.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. The man convicted of killing his mother in Dodgeville in the summer of 2021 has been sentenced to life in prison. 52-year-old Eric Way was sentenced this week and will not have the option for supervised release, according to the Department of Justice. Way's brother, Philip Schmidt Way, was also found guilty of the murder and will be sentenced later this year. According to a release, the mother of the two men had agreed to sell their family farm, which Schmidt Way would have inherited with her death. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call said that the sentence was appropriate given the nature of the crime. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development says nearly 2,000 employees are set to be laid off this year, primarily in healthcare. Over 75% of the jobs alone are in western Wisconsin. Other layoffs include at Energizer, which is closing plants in Fenimore and Portage, as well as layoffs at manufacturers in Eau Claire, a design studio in Madison, and a customer service center in Milwaukee. Over 6,700 people were laid off in Wisconsin in 2023. According to DWD. The latest Marquette poll projects a tight race for president in Wisconsin.
The Marquette University Law School poll surveyed 930 registered voters in Wisconsin between January 24th and 31st. 49% said they'd vote for former President Donald Trump. 49% said they'd vote for President Joe Biden. The poll's margin of error, plus or minus 4.2%. Poll director Charles Franklin called the results the tightest you could possibly get. In November, the Marquette poll found 50% of registered voters said they'd vote Biden, while 48% supported Trump. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
One of U.S. senators in Wisconsin is ready to kill a bipartisan negotiated bill dealing with border security and immigration. At a Tuesday press conference, Wisconsin Republican Senator Ron Johnson spoke out against the legislation.
It codifies an awful lot that we don't want. It normalizes thousands of people a day.
Johnson is among a group of GOP senators arguing the deal is too soft on illegal immigration, adding that President Joe Biden already has everything he needs to shore up border security. Wisconsin's Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin is supporting the bill, praising its bipartisanship and actionable solutions. An Impact Life Madison Blood Drive will be held at the Richland Hospital today from 10 until 3 in Pippin Hall of the lower level of the hospital. Appointments can be made through Impact Life Madison at 1-800-747-5401 or visit bloodcenter.org. Impact Life Madison is a supplier to the Richland Hospital. Wildfires could be a problem in Wisconsin this spring. The Department of Natural Resources says warm weather and a lack of snow will likely make conditions dry this spring. The DNR says Wisconsin has already had one small wildfire. It was Sunday in Fairchild near Eau Claire. A Wisconsin man who pepper sprayed police officers during the January 6th attack at the U.S. Capitol is sentenced to 3 years in prison this week. Federal authorities say Riley Casper of Pulaski was part of a group that broke through a gate and chased down police officers. On social media, he posted that pepper spraying police was satisfying. Internet subsidies in Wisconsin are about to expire. This will affect more than 400,000 low-income households in the state who receive help with their internet bills each month. According to a release from the Federal Communications Commission, the Affordable Connectivity Program will stop accepting new enrollments this week. The funding is expected to last through April of 2024 and will run out completely in May if no other federal funding is allocated. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has voiced skepticism about the possibility of the Republican-controlled legislature passing new legislative maps that the Democrat proposed. Evers was asked about Republican Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, who was floating the possibility earlier on Wednesday of the Senate voting on the Evers map. Evers says, "I'll believe it when I see it." The Wisconsin Supreme Court is weighing maps submitted by Evers and others after it ruled in December that the current Republican-drawn maps were unconstitutional. The political stakes are huge for both sides. In the presidential battleground state, Republicans have had a firm grip on the legislature since 2011. A new bill in the Wisconsin legislature would require parking structures to have inspections every 5 years. The proposal, introduced by four Milwaukee-area legislators, would assess a $200 fine every month to parking garage owners for 12 months if they don't meet up with inspection standards. The measure also states that the garage would be shut down if no inspection is conducted a year later. The proposal comes nearly a year after the parking garage at Glendale's Bayshore Mall collapsed under the weight of heavy snow, and more than a decade after a panel fell through from Milwaukee's O'Donnell Park parking garage, killing a teen and injuring two others on the first day of the 2010 edition of Summerfest.
This is Kim Smeltz from the Investment Center at Community First Bank. Does your retirement plan fit your vision? Your plan should be as unique as you are. Whatever you envision, let's discuss the right investment mix, risk tolerance, and time horizon. Contact me today to help align your strategy with your retirement dream.
Experience the difference at Community First Bank. CFBankInvestmentCenter.com. Securities and insurance offered through LPL or its affiliates are not insured by FDIC or any other government agency. Not bank guaranteed, not bank deposits or obligations may lose value.
The forecast for today, well, don't be surprised if you hear some rumbles of thunder later on. Mostly cloudy, breezy, and warm. A few scattered rain showers with a thunderstorm possible late. A high of 55 today. Scattered showers early, maybe a thunderstorm tonight, and a low of 36. Friday, partly to mostly cloudy and breezy, a high of 43. Saturday, 37. It will be partly cloudy and quiet on Sunday, and a high of 37. In Richland Center, yesterday, today, we fell short of the originally predicted daytime high. We did hit 47 degrees on the day. No precipitation. And overall, a mild February day. It looks like possibly more of the same today. We start out after a low of 40. It's currently 43 degrees.
The Pine River Sports Association Spring Gun Show is this weekend at the Richland Center Community Center. Friday, 3 to 8. Saturday, 8 to 3. The PRSA Gun Show is recognized as a quality event with up to 70 tables of guns and related items. Boy Scouts will have concessions. Admission is $5 with 12 and under free with an adult. The Pine River Sports Association looks forward to seeing you Friday and Saturday at the PRSA Spring Gun Show at the Community Center in Richland Center.
Sports Time today is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex. Dive into greater community and healthier living. And also sponsored by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. We'll look at today's area high school schedule and details on a third straight loss for the Badger men's basketball team.
A Kubota tractor will allow you to get all those many jobs done that have been sitting there too long. Hi, this is Rick from the Homesteader Store. Industry-leading Kubota tractors will push, pull, lift, cut, and till your property back into shape. Kubota has compact diesel tractors priced right from 18 to 62 horsepower. They have silky smooth hydrostatic transmissions. Kubota has various rebates and great long-term financing. See the full line of Kubota tractors at the Homesteader Store, Highway 14 East, or at homesteaderstore.com.
I'm Phil Nea with sports. High school boys basketball games down to the final three games of the regular season for Richland Center. The Hornets will be at River Valley tonight in a conference matchup, which we'll have on FM 100.9. Also in boys basketball, Dodgeville at Lancaster and Prairie du Chien at Platteville. Hillsboro is at Brookwood, Viroqua at Westby, Kickapoo at Wazika Steuben, North Crawford at Seneca, and Weston at Lafarge. Boscobel at Southwestern tonight, Fenimore at Riverdale, Cuba City at Mineral Point, Darlington visits Iowa Grant. In girls basketball, Boscobel at Darlington, Royal at New Lisbon, Bangor at Nisida, Hillsboro visits Brookwood, Winnewick Center is at Cashton, Baraboo is doing battle tonight at Sauk Prairie, and it will be Reedsburg at Portage. High school wrestling coming up. The postseason continues. These are the ones that really matter. WIAA Regional this weekend for the right for wrestlers and teams to move on from the Super Regionals on Saturday. Riverdale will be a part of the Buzzsaw Regional coming up at Mineral Point on Saturday. The Chieftains are coached by Jeff Campbell, and he says the team is getting back to full strength.
You know, knock on wood here. We got a couple more practices to get through, but we should be healthy and ready to go. We had two seniors, Caden Renish and Riley Wanick, who were out last week that just from some precautionary things, and they're they've had a great week of practice so far and look solid and ready to go, and have had a nice January for us. So we're looking to get those two back in the lineup and have that full steam of guys that we haven't really had through the month of January, and that kind of usually happens. You're kind of mixing and matching some stuff, so it'll be fun to get that lineup all back together that we had earlier in the year and see what we can do on Saturday.
WRCO coverage of the Super Regional begins at 10 o'clock Saturday morning on FM 100.9, WRCO.com. The third straight loss for the Wisconsin Badgers may have been the most stunning. Michigan hit some late-game clutch free throws to avoid blowing another lead while holding off Wisconsin 72-60. The Wolverines had lost five straight games coming in. A.J. Storr scored 20 points to lead UW scoring, but his team stayed cold from outside the arc, connecting on just 5 of 19 three-pointers. Michigan led at halftime 37-33. Then the Badgers roared back to take the lead. This time, Coach Juwan Howard's team didn't fold. Wisconsin tries to rediscover the winning formula on the road at Rutgers on Saturday. Also, the Bucks report three-time NBA All-Star Chris Middleton didn't suffer a fractured ankle Thursday night, but there is currently no timetable for his return. He was hurt in the first quarter of the 114-106 loss at Phoenix, managed to shoot the free throws, then missed the rest of the game. Middleton suffered the sprain when he landed on the foot of the Suns forward Kevin Durant. Milwaukee was already playing without point guard Damian Lillard, who also has an ankle injury. The Bucks return to action tonight, trying to get back on their winning ways, and they'll be playing host to Minnesota. Toronto was a winner over Charlotte, 123-117 last night. Cleveland over Washington, 114-106. Also Boston, 125. Atlanta, 117. Miami, 116. San Antonio, 104. Golden State, 127. Philadelphia, 104. Detroit beat Sacramento, 133-120. And New Orleans over the Clippers, 117-106. The Packer organization is starting the preparation for the retirement of President and CEO Mark Murphy. A national search committee has been formed, and the company is getting ready to help with the search, and that has been hired. Murphy has to retire next year when he turns 70. The committee is expected to take 6 to 9 months to recommend a list of finalists to the board of directors. Murphy's time leading the organization has seen the creation and expansion of the Titletown District. He also is in charge of getting Green Bay ready to host the 2025 NFL Draft. The Brewers are adding more power to the roster for the 24 Major League season by signing free agent catcher Gary Sanchez. The one-year agreement is worth $7 million, and it includes an option. The 30-year-old Sanchez pounded 19 home runs in just 72 games with the Padres last season. He hit .218, but the power pushed his OPS plus to .116. Although he came up with the Yankees as a hit-first prospect, Sanchez has developed his receiving skills to the point he is considered an above-average catcher. That's an update on sports. I'm Phil Nee.
What do you get the membership to Simon's Recreation Complex? Warm indoor pool, relaxing hot tub.
So there are legitimate sites out there to meet people and things like that. How can you be sure, or what's a good way to check it out?
Yeah, absolutely. There are legitimate ways to meet people, and you want to go through the steps slowly. What happens is romance scammers provide the fake personal details on their profile, and they'll strike up a conversation with an individual and build this trust, but they'll do so on an accelerated timeline. They will be very quick about it, and their ultimate goal is to convince individuals to send them money. So we see different claims from the fake profiles that they are from outside the U.S., and so that's why they can't come to meet, because they need assistance with travel, or they may profess love almost immediately on that accelerated timetable. They often ask the individual to leave the original platform and communicate with them by personal email or text, so that way there's no record in that way. And again, they encourage you to invest in a new opportunity, often together. This could be a cryptocurrency, but really they're going to be behind the cryptocurrency. And they indicate that that's a way to strengthen your relationship by investing together. So a number of different clues that can be used. But again, we want people to try the reverse image search on photos, look for matching profiles on other platforms, and try to recognize these red flags.
Well, we're right kind of in the middle of winter, although the weather hasn't always felt like that. But certainly utilities are something that we're looking at. And those prices, you know, that you're looking at and trying to pay bills and things like that. And certainly there are some scams related to winter utilities, too, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely. So we had that period of winter where we had the good snow and the sub-zero temperatures, and right now we're in a high season, and we may go back to that cold season. And that's a, you know, that's a Wisconsin winter here variation. But what happens is scammers watch the weather, and they put the fear into consumers, and they'll threaten to disconnect utilities due to late payments, incorrectly filed documents, or some other reasons as to why they need payment immediately from you. They'll contact consumers claiming to represent the local utility company and may even manipulate caller IDs to look like the phone call is coming from that company in your area. They could mention work orders, billing statements, truck numbers, or other highly specific details to make a story seem legitimate. And of course, add urgency as to why you need to pay attention and make payment right away. What happens is that the consumers will then make their payment for fear of this disconnection, usually during the period of time when we're in a deep cold spurt, or just even cold evenings when you're still going to need your utilities, and in advance of our official moratorium time period. So in the state of Wisconsin, there's a moratorium for consumers to not be disconnected if they fall behind on their heating bills, and that's April 15th of this year. And this is to make sure that consumers can stay warm and not have utilities disconnected. So if you get a phone call like this, know that it is a scam for that one reason alone, that we have the moratorium. The second reason you know it's a scam is because Utility companies are not going to contact you by phone about disconnection. They contact you first by mail and then go through an entire process of contacting you, with the last one being leaving something on your doorstep and maybe even showing up in person. But they do not just call you out of the blue and demand that you pay by gift card, cryptocurrency, or some other prepaid form of payment.
Interesting enough. Yeah, that's certainly something that bears watching. And again, you can't be disconnected. You said the deadline is April 15th, right?
Absolutely. And if consumers find themselves falling behind and need assistance with their utility bill, they can find resources from our State Public Service Commission at psc.wi.gov, or they can apply for energy, utility, water, or emergency rental assistance by calling the statewide customer care center. And that is at energyandhousing.wi.gov. So there are resources available where people can start to address those needs in advance of April 15th.
Publishers Clearinghouse, they haven't shown up at my door yet, Michelle, but I guess I haven't entered either. And that's one of the big key things, isn't it?
Absolutely. I love that. They haven't showed up at your door. They haven't showed up at mine either. But I didn't enter, so therefore I don't expect to win. And that is one of the keys. If you don't enter a contest, you can't win. So when you get that phone call saying that you've won, or someone does show up on your door saying you've won, you have to remember you hadn't entered the contest, and so it's all just a scam. But the FTC receives reports, as does DadCap's Consumer Protection, from individuals who've received phone calls indicating that they have won the Publisher's Clearinghouse. Now, this is the fake Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes. And all they need to do is pay some fees and taxes, and they will receive their winnings. So this is certainly something we want consumers to be on guard for, because we are in that season of the imposters, Publisher's Clearinghouse circulating.
A lot of times I think people think, well, I subscribe to a magazine that I'm automatically entered. And I don't think that's the case either, is it?
I don't believe that's the case either, that you're not going to win just for subscribing to magazines, but you cannot win a drawing, raffle, or prize that you did not enter. And real prizes are free. I mean, if you are being charged, it's a scam. Now, a contest or lottery may take taxes off your winnings, but you don't need to actually make a payment in order to claim your prize. So be suspicious of callers who make these amazing and unbelievable claims, because if it's too good to be true, it is. It is just too good to be true. You can't believe that. So resist the high-pressure tactics that they use. And we want you to think before acting, and that's the exact opposite of a scammer. They want you to act without thinking. So pause, consider your situation, and don't let anyone rush you into handing over your money in any situation, let alone a prize or contest situation.
Whether it's legit or not, it's kind of hard to know sometimes, though, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And so that's why it takes time to think. It takes time to recognize the red flags. And we don't want people just reacting to that first contact that they have with these scammers. Talk to friends and family to see if situations are real, or call Consumer Protection Hotline to talk through the situation. And you can reach us at 1-800-422-7128.
Always good stuff, Michelle. We hope that maybe we can keep somebody out of a jam by your monthly visits here.
Yes, we certainly hope so. And if nothing else, I hope consumers let us know what's circulating out there so we can be sure we are talking about what's current and relevant, and be sure that we're protecting everyone.
All right. Well, we'll say happy Valentine's Day to you, and we'll see, talk to you again in March.
Now, that sounds great. Happy Valentine's Day to you and all your listeners as well.
That's Michelle Reinen from DadCap joining us for our monthly visit on The Morning Show. Our morning show continues on WRCO with a little of this and a little of that today. It was on this day in 1964 when thousands of screaming fans greeted the Beatles as they arrived at New York's John F. Kennedy International Airport for their first American tour. Many that are old enough may remember seeing them for that first time on the Ed Sullivan Show 2 days later, February 9th of 1964. And I've talked to so many over the years that were in bands in the 60s, 70s, 80s that saw that first night, and they made their parents go out and buy them a guitar. It was quite an influential night. This week on Those Were the Days, Gary Berman will be my guest. He's an author who's written a book called We're Going to See the Beatles, and he recounts stories from folks from all over the country that had a chance to see them in the 2 years they were touring.
Yeah, it's surprising how very different and very interesting each of these stories are from people, because they're coming from different walks of life, and they're coming from different parts of the country, and different families who either encouraged their enthusiasm for the Beatles or tried to resist it. And so it's really a very interesting slice of American life from back then, at least from the teenager's point of view anyway.
Historically, you know, it's hard to know, but certainly a lot of people will say the assassination of President Kennedy, you know, the country was in mourning, and this kind of brought them out of their doldrums. Do you think, had that not happened, if things would have been different, or would the Beatles probably always have been a phenomenon when they arrived?
Well, there were sort of rumblings about the Beatles before the assassination. So through like the autumn of 63, people would start, the fan magazines would start printing some stories about them, and there were very brief clips of them performing on that were shown on some of the network news broadcasts. So I think the enthusiasm for them and the curiosity for them was gradually mounting even up to that point. And so whether or not that assassination happened, whether that would have made an impact on the Beatles' popularity, I tend to doubt it, actually. It's true that a lot of the people I spoke with do talk about how the country needed something, at least pop culture anyway, needed something, a jolt, because musically, the young people at the time were not very happy with what was being played on the radio. It tended to be on the bland side, and not like it was back when rock and roll was new and the original legends of rock and roll were at their height. So there was sort of a period of years where nothing much was really going on until the Beatles made themselves known.
Gary Berman, author of the book, We're Going to See the Beatles. We'll have more of his comments during our Saturday night program this weekend on WRCO's Those Were the Days. So let's turn the clock back. 60 years, the number one song in this very day. That's it for today's morning show. Phil and Lee, hoping you have a great Wednesday, and thanks again for joining us.
You are listening to WRCE 1450 AM, W299 CD, Richland Center.